Good morning. How's everyone doing? Happy New Year. 2018. How many of you remember that wonderful moment when the world did not come to an end at Y2K? Any of you remember Y2K? We made it again and again. And now it's 2018, and it's good to be with you this morning. Now, I got to tell you, I think I'm probably more happy to be with you than some of you are happy to be with me. At least that's the impression I was given by a few of you when I came in this morning. When I arrived, I was greeted with this phrase, "Hey Josh, we didn't miss you at all last week." "Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you too." They go, no. And they just said, "Your dad did a great job," and I was so glad. And again, it's good to be able to go away, but it's also great to come back home, especially when people want you here. Anyway, it's good to be back and to see you all. We were away at Lindsay's parents. I'm going to move this out of the way so I feel like I'm a little closer to you all. We were up in Indiana, and while you all were enjoying the cold, we were also enjoying the cold. It got down to below, I think, 12 degrees while we were there. But we're back and enjoying this heat wave in Nashville. So listen, one of the things that always happens this time of year, and happened for us on the drive back home on this week, was a little discussion that begins to happen in the family. We begin to plan the new year, and we ask this question: where are we going to go this next year? And we began to discuss the next 12 months. Now, we don't know for sure where we're going to go and all the details, but we begin to plan and think about where we may go this next year. And so in March, I'm going to go with the team from Antioch to Nicaragua for a week to build bathrooms, do a VBS, do a gospel meeting, and hopefully, if things work out, also begin the work of helping plant another church in Nicaragua. So March, I plan to go there. At some point this year, my wife and our kiddos plan to go visit her sister and brother-in-law in Arkansas. Plan to go to ABC this year. Anyone else planning to go to Antioch Bible Camp later this year? I'll see you there. Bring the sweat reducer stuff, please. And so we're going to be going there. We'll be going maybe on a family vacation, or we'll be going to different places. And then, of course, there's all the other little places we go, right? Well, we're going to go to the grocery at least once this year. It's going to happen. Some of you are going to go to the grocery on Monday morning and then realize you forgot something and go back again Monday afternoon. It's going to happen. We're going to go to the bank. We're going to go to church. Can I get an amen? All right, for all seven of you, yes, we'll see you here. We're going to go to the gym. We're going to go to work. We're going to go to school. We're going to go to all these different places. And so we're going to come to, as we begin 2018, the going passage of the Bible. Now, we ended 2017 at the beginning of Matthew, where we begin the story of Christ's mission on earth. Now, today, as we start 2018, we're going to the end of the story of Jesus' mission on earth, Matthew 28, and we'll begin in verse 16. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn there. And if you will, let's stand together as we read God's Word. If you don't have a Bible, the notes will be up on screen as well, and I invite you to listen and look as we read together. These are the words of our Savior. It begins verse 16. "Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him." But note this, some doubted. Some doubted. "Jesus said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you.'" And let's say this last phrase together, shall we? Real loud. "And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Let's pray together. Father, as we begin this new year, may we step out in your direction as you are doing great work around us and through us. May we have confidence that as we go, we do not go alone, but rather we follow behind the leading of the Spirit and with the indwelling of the Spirit. We thank you in Jesus' name. And all those who agreed said, and all those who agreed said, you may be seated. Now, here's the problem with this passage. And you say, there's a problem? Yep, there's a problem. The problem is, if you are like me, if you grew up in the churches of Christ, you have heard this passage preached so many times, you already think you know what it says. In fact, some of you are already kind of going, okay, Great Commission, go, 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 do, do, do. Hopefully you won't run too long this morning. But the chances are that most of us in this room have heard it so many times, we've become numb to hearing what it's really trying to tell us. Now, if you grew up again the way I did and you heard this passage, it was almost always preached as a going passage. And so you would leave church, go home, and unless you went to the foreign mission field, then you failed somehow that week. You'd come back and think, well, I didn't go this week. I just went home. I just went to the doctor. I just went to the grocery. I just went to school. I just went to work. But I didn't really go. That's how I failed. The better translation seems to be not simply just go, but rather as you go. The idea is Jesus is saying, as you go about life, as you go to the grocery, as you go to school, as you go to your work, to the gym, to wherever it may be, and by the way, we're saying, yeah, I'm going to the gym. As you go to the gym the next four times this year, you just, okay, well, okay. So as you go, it is the way of life, the way of being. It is not one more thing to do. Rather, it is what you do. It's just life. Now, the emphasis is not also on the going. You understand that the emphasis of this passage is on the next little idea, make disciples. That's the emphasis of this passage. In fact, that phrase, make disciples, could be repeated after every phrase. As you go, make disciples. As you teach, make disciples. As you baptize, make disciples. And I will be with you always as you make disciples. That is the emphasis of this passage. Now, this Christmas, we at the Diggs house had a couple fun gifts. We got this one little music-making, noise-making thing for the kids to share. 10 minutes for one, 10 minutes for the other. I mean, and they're down to the second. Okay, your time's up, my time's on. But they're having a good time with that. The best thing about this music-making machine, it has headphones. So when they're playing, we just slip those on, plug it in, and everyone's happy. Now, this year I got a little steps tracker, a little fitness device on my wrist. Does anyone else have one of these things either on their wrist, in their pocket, somewhere on their person, or perhaps not on you, but at home? You know, it does a lot of good sitting on the counter at home. Amen? Yeah, not so much, right? Now, my old one died, and so I got a new one, and I wasn't sure how to take that. Like, whenever you get a gift that is weight-related, how exactly do you take that gift? I mean, is this like, Merry Christmas, fatty? You know, what do you do with that? But, so I have it. Now, like many of you, I have this. And while we may have different ones, you know, some of them will beep, some of them will track steps, some of them will check heart rate, some of them will have nice little phrases pop up or even speak to you, like, way to go, good job, put down the Twinkie, whatever it may be. But they have these different things to kind of get you going. Now, this one tracks steps, every step. In fact, you may see me doing more of this today because I've got to get my steps in, all right? What I love about this is it counts every step because, hear me, every step counts. It is not just when you go and work out that they count. It is not just when you go to a particular destination that the movement of your life matters. Jesus likewise is telling us you do not have to go overseas to make an eternal impact. You simply have to take another step. Count every step, family, because every step you make this year counts. Every person you meet is a soul destined for an eternal destination. Make disciples. Make the moments count. Now, when we talk about making disciples, I know it's kind of this big, scary idea. How do we make disciples? Or even better yet, some of us, so as not to feel the burden of making disciples, will say something like, well, wait a minute, Josh, isn't it the 11 apostles who were there that Jesus gave this command to? So does it not just apply to them? Well, it's true. If you look at the passage, there are 11 people that Jesus sends up to this place. And so they were the 11 remaining apostles. Judas had already killed himself at this point. What's interesting is this. Matthew is making a very intentional point. He does not call them the 11 apostles. He specifically calls them the 11 disciples. His point is that what Jesus commands of them is not simply for the 11 special super Christians. It is for anyone who would follow Jesus. Now, sometimes we get confused or this seems very difficult. So, I need a little help this morning. I need some volunteers. I actually need, let's get three volunteers. Can I just raise your hand if you're willing to help me out here? You come right on up here. Will you come join me? And I need one more. Let's get someone who's over the age of 15, shall we? Anyone willing to come help? Kevin Ray, thank you so much, brother-in-law. Come on up here. His wife, Vollen, told him that he needed to come up here. So you guys come on up here on stage. Howdy, howdy, howdy. All right, now, I want you to see what it means to be a disciple. I'm going to have you come stand right over here next to Kevin. Oh, better yet, Kevin, you come right over here. We'll just have a little fun. You come stand right here, sweetheart. Thank you. Okay, now, one of the things I enjoy most about being a minister are those fun conversations with younger people about what it means to follow Christ. Usually, the conversation begins with a statement from a younger person, I want to be baptized. And man, we celebrate that decision, don't we? It's just a great thing. But always there's this thing that we have to communicate that baptism is not the point. Jesus is the point. Baptism is what Jesus calls us to do in this passage, correct? So it's important, but it's not the point. Jesus is the point. So we always want to explain what it means to be a disciple. Now, a disciple is simply a follower. In the first century, there would be a person, if you wanted to be a disciple of a rabbi, of a teacher, you would literally move into the house or into the place where the rabbi lived. You would learn how to do life by watching and listening your teacher. And so I always get this child, whoever it may be, and we'll talk about what it means to be a follower. I'll get the parent who's there with me because I prefer for the mom or the dad or both to be there. And so I'll get the mom to get up and I'll say, okay, you're going to be the leader. Have you ever seen Follow the Leader? By the way, church, have you ever seen Follow the Leader? Can I see some hands? So here's what we're going to do. Now, you two don't do anything. Just hang back, chill, look cool. You're good. Okay. But you, for just a moment, here's what I want you to do. Whatever I do, you do. Can we do that? All right. We're going to just play a little game of Follow the Leader. Ready? So, okay. You put your right foot in, you put your right foot out, you put your right foot in, and you shake it all about. Or we could do wrists and get some more moves. It's cheating. And then what we can do. You got it? Okay, so then this is what it means to be a follower. You do whatever the person you're following does. Now, then the goal is that once you are done learning what the rabbi has to teach, you then get to be a teacher to other people. You now make disciples. So now, you follow whatever she does. Go ahead, walk around, make this fun. What would you like to see him do? You don't know. Let me give you some suggestions. Jump up and down. Ready? Go ahead. Let's just jump. There we go. There we go. Let's shake a little bit. Can we do this? Come on, a little shake. There we go. Thank you. This is not dancing. It's choreography. Now, after you have made a disciple, go ahead and step out of the way. Now you get to make a disciple. Have fun. Okay, that's enough of that. Can you give them a round of applause? To be a disciple is to follow the lead of Jesus Christ. To make disciples is to show what Jesus showed you to other people. The way to remember what it means to be a disciple maker is simply this: as you, here's the word, go. Go. I want you to think of what it means to make disciples with the word go. Two letters, two words. When you think of the word go, think of the G representing God. As you go, God. As you go, the O represents others. God and others. To make disciples is simply to bring God to others. As you go, bring God to others. Let's say that together. As you go, bring God to others. One more time. As you go, bring God to others. That's what it means to make disciples. You're simply taking what you have and sharing it, showing it, offering it to those behind you. This is what it means to be a disciple maker. And it doesn't happen overseas. It can happen right here. This is why Deuteronomy 6, speaking to the older generation, says, as you walk along the road, as you sit at home, as you share what you know with those under you. The first sphere of disciple making is in your own homes, family. Men, when you go out to work, ladies, when you go out to work, God has given you another sphere of disciple making. You say, yeah, but it's a hostile environment. That's fine. You show what Christ has done in you. You be who Christ has been to you. And as you do, don't be surprised if the Holy Spirit begins to work through you into the lives of those around you. As you go, make disciples. Now, I know one of the things we like to do is then quibble over the authority that Jesus has in our life. But notice the phrase there. He says, all authority has been given to me. Jesus does not say some authority. He does not say future authority. Jesus says, all authority on heaven and on earth has been given to me. He is the ultimate, final authority in life. Now again, we don't get this because we didn't grow up in a monarchy, did we? Now, I know some of you grew up in homes where it was pretty clear you were under a monarchy. Can I get an oh yeah? But in this world, in our Western world, we do not live under a monarchy. We're under a democratic republic, meaning we are not really comfortable or familiar with a person who has final say in our lives. So that's why in your neighborhood, that stop sign, you know, the one that's really not there, or at least everyone treats it like it's not there. You know how this works. You know your neighborhood. You come up to the stop sign and you know no one ever comes through this intersection. It is dead half the time. So when you come up to it, you slow. I mean, you're respectful. You pretend like it's a yield sign. You slow. But when no one is coming through, you just kind of, you just ease on through. Keep the momentum going. Hey, look, you're being a good steward of your car. Less wear and tear on those brake pads. Amen. I mean, that's what you're doing. So you roll through. Because you have more authority in your mind than the stop sign. Or that's at least what you think and what you try to explain to the police officer who has pulled you over for rolling through the stop sign. This is why when I go to the doctor and he says, you need exercise, I leave there and go, I don't need exercise. What does he know? It's not like he went to medical school or anything. I am the ultimate authority in my life. We treat ourselves as the ultimate authority. But Christ says, no. I'm the authority. In fact, Matthew has worked very hard throughout the gospel to present a case that Jesus Christ is the final authority. In the Hebrew community's mind, the Mosaic law, the Old Testament law, was the highest authority. It was the highest teaching because it was given to Moses than to the people. So Moses was this great figure in Israel's history, and he is a great figure. But from the first chapter onward, Matthew is trying to subversively say, Matthew's great, Jesus is even bigger and better and more authoritative than Matthew. Notice how he does this. He begins by giving a lineage of Jesus's, or gives Jesus' lineage. He came from Abraham. He came from David. By the way, David and Moses are from two different lines. So already we get the first hint that Jesus is something special. You go then through, Jesus' father is a man named Joseph. One of Moses' forefathers was a man named Joseph. His father could interpret dreams. Jesus' father, Joseph, was able to know what God wanted through dreams. Notice God always interacts with Joseph, Jesus' father, through dreams. Jesus goes out into the wilderness for how many days? 40 days. Moses is up on the mountain with God for 40 days. Moses, when he goes up to get the law, it says that he went up on a mountain and he comes down bringing the word of God, the law of God. In Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, we're told that Jesus went up on a particular mountain and he began to teach them. You've heard it said, but I tell you, Jesus goes up on a mountain and brings them God's law more clearly and more perfectly. And we see this idea repeating. There's so many ways that Matthew's showing that Jesus is the greater and better Moses. And he's communicating to this group of people who have now heard this Jesus, who have come to follow this new rabbi. And he says, listen, you honor and follow Moses, rightly so. But the job of the follower of Jesus is to stop following the old authorities in our lives and to come under the lordship of Jesus Christ completely and fully. All authority has been given to Jesus. Now let me tell you one more thing I like about this watch. You know one of the things I love most about this? I can turn off all the little annoying notifications. You know, the ones that tell you, you have not moved in approximately 72 days. You should get up and walk somewhere. I can turn that off. Or I can take it off and I can leave it at home. I don't have to listen to what this thing says if I don't want to. My little fitness tracker can make suggestions that I have the choice to ignore. But hear me. Jesus does not make suggestions to his followers. He says, this is what it means to follow. So either we are followers or we are not followers. We don't have the choice to ignore. Now then he makes this incredible statement. And actually before we do that, let me give you just a couple more things here. One question that you may have is, okay, bring God to others. Show them all this. Okay, practically, what does that mean? Let's get real practical. Are you ready? If you want to jot this down, I gave you lots of blank notes so you can jot things down. If you want to do this, this would be a good one. Here are the two ways that you bring God to others. It's very simply. You serve people and you share with people. You serve people and you share with people. You serve people when you see needs arise. Do you remember in John chapter 13, the night before Jesus dies on the cross, he gets down before the meal, takes off his outer garment, takes a towel and a basin of water and proceeds to wash his disciples' feet. And then he tells them, you do what I've done. You serve as you have been served. You care for others as I have cared for you. And then he makes this incredible promise, family. Hear me now. This isn't just selflessness. If you want a blessed life, do what Jesus said, because he said, you will be blessed if you do what I'm doing. You will be a blessed person if you are a blessing to other people. You will be a blessing as you serve people. It's the first thing. If you want to bring God to others, you find ways to serve. And the second thing is you share. Now listen, when we think about sharing in church, we almost always think about sharing our testimony. I once was this kind of person. Jesus saved me. This is who I am now. And that's good. You need to know your testimony and share it. We're going to teach you how to do that this year. This year is going to be all about meat and potatoes. Last year was the big sort of ideas that we need to know. This year, it's going to be meat and potatoes. Here's how we follow Jesus and bring others to follow him as well. But he starts with this idea. And so what we're going to do here is we share. You know your testimony. You tell your testimony. But sharing is more than just your testimony. One of the greatest gifts you can give someone is just sharing your time. I think about those moments where life has just kind of crumbled and all you need from someone else is just for them to be there. Just someone who'll sit there, who won't make any trite comments, who may not say a word, but who just will be there. Your time. You share your testimony. You share your time. You share a helping hand. You share a listening ear. You share a word of encouragement. You share an observation. You share these things. And notice, as you are sharing, you will be serving. Because as you see what the person needs, as you are sharing your time, your testimony, and these things, you will be serving those people as well. Serving is not nearly as hard as we make it out to be. Sharing is not nearly as hard as we make it out to be. But there will come a time that you also are given the opportunity to share someone an invitation to be a part of the church, to find their next step in following Jesus Christ. And so for you this year, and for me this year, I'm just going to ask, can we be a family that as we go, we make disciples and we bring them to know Christ? You may be able to bring them all the way, share with them your testimony, share with them what Christ has done, share with them who he could be to them. That is wonderful. But if you don't feel comfortable doing all of that, you can at least share an invitation so that around this group, they may hear and feel and understand who Jesus Christ is. I want to give you just a couple ways, a couple times that you can do that starting this week, okay? Here we go. Tim Partlow already talked about this, but I want to give you some ways to go in 2018. The first one starts next week. It's the Relationships Matter Seminar. Tim already showed you this, but on the table out in the lobby, it's right there in the middle on a white-covered table, you'll find these small posters. If your place of employment, if the grocery where you go, if the bank where you go, if the coffee shop you tend to frequent has a community bulletin board and they will allow you to put one up, would you take one of these? This past week I put out probably about a dozen all over the place and I'm going out this week to do more. I'd invite you where you go. This is one of the ways to share as you go. The other way is with these invitation cards. They fit in the palm of your hand. You can get about five or six in a pocket comfortably. I've tried. Now, here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Will you this week, before you leave, will you grab at least three cards? Just three cards. And if you don't know what to do with those three cards, let me give you some creative ideas. If you don't know people to give them to, here's the way you do it. This week, go through a drive-thru. You say, which one? Doesn't matter. Go through a drive-thru somewhere. Pay for your meal. But as you do, ask the attendant, say, I would like to pay for the person behind me as well. You may want to know how much that person has ordered first. That's okay. Get a quote, whatever you need. But after you pay for them, say, will you give this card to the next person as they come through? You never have to introduce yourself. You say, I'm shy. Fine, you can pay for a meal and you can give a card. Here's another one. How many of you have bills that you're going to have to pay this week and you've yet to move completely digitally in your bill payment? Anyone still write checks? More of you than I thought. Cool. Well, okay, here's what you do. They got to open that envelope sometime, don't they? They want your money. You can always put one of these in there as well. Now, you say, yeah, it's going to Michigan. So what? It'll still get to someone, okay? Take these. You could put them in neighbors' doorways or in their doors at home. You say, well, I'm nervous. I don't know that I want them to know that I was the one who gave it. Great. You just do that at about 12 o'clock at night. Put it in. You sneak home. They'll never know it was you. But this week, could you, would you, will you, as you go, will you take a step in making disciples? Will you just do that? I promise you get them here next week. I promise you get them here next week. We will do the best we can to make your friend, your neighbor, your coworker, that person that you are praying for to know Jesus, I promise we will do everything in our power to make them feel welcome and safe while they're here so they can hear the good news of Jesus. And I want you to know, we've also invited about a dozen other churches from our area to join us. Many of them are planning to come, at least many of them from their churches. It's going to be a fun time. I don't want you to miss it. You plan to come and invite people. A couple other things real quickly. I'll just put these up. Sunday after that, the 21st, I'd like to invite you to bring a pack of diapers. We're going to do a drive to help mamas who may be on the fence about whether to keep their children or to abort their children, and we're going to try to resource the resource centers so that they have more tangible ways of helping people take the next step. That is one of the ways as we go this week when you go to the grocery. Let me give you another one. In February, ladies, this is for you. There's going to be a bilingual weekend for the ladies here in the church. We've got a speaker coming in. I hear she is excellent. Again, we will give you materials to invite people to come because whatever we do this year, we want to make it easy for you to share what's going on in your church. And then the fourth thing is April the 1st, we have Easter. Statistics show us that most people would like to go to church on Easter Sunday if they were invited to do so. If they just had someone who'd say, hey, would you come with me? Throughout the year, we're going to give you opportunities to tangibly take the next step, to count every step, because every step counts. I want to end on this point. There's this really important phrase at the end of Jesus' message. It's the one we read aloud together. And behold, I will be with you always to the end of the age. You know, again, I like this little fitness tracker. And it says that it'll encourage me along the way. But notice, it has no ability to empower me to go or do what I've been called to do. But do you remember what it said? You baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. For all who are in here, who are followers of Jesus, if you have committed your life to Christ, you are now filled with the indwelling Holy Spirit, and you do not go alone. Rather, we're told the Spirit of God is already covering the earth, crisscrossing the planet. He is presenting things to people, preparing their hearts. He goes before you, and then He goes with you, empowering you this week, this year, as you take your next step, as you invite someone, as you share, as you serve, as you bring God to others, He goes with you to do it. You never go alone, family. He has already prepared the way, and He will lead you to the right person at the right time, in the right way, if you will simply take the next step. And so we're going to pray this morning. And here's what we're going to pray for. I'm going to lead us in a corporate prayer, and then we're going to go into a time of communal prayer. I'm going to invite some of our elders to the front, Benton, Tim, and then Todd Best, if you're in the room here, if you'll come up as well. I think Jim Thweet, if you'll make your way to the front as well. And here's what I want to invite you to do as we go into this time of prayer. I want you to do a couple things. Maybe you need to just thank the Lord that He brought you through to a new year. Do that. But maybe today you need to pray that He will give you the courage and the boldness to just take another step. That as you go, He'll show you what to do, family. And that you will have the boldness just to take a step this week. That when you go to the grocery, the attendant, you'll have a moment to speak a word of encouragement. That friend that you've met at the gym, that you won't simply encourage one another in your reps, but you'll begin to share life, and that God will open doors of communicating the truth. As you go back to school, young people, that you will have the boldness to be Christ so that others will see a difference and follow what you are doing. But we want to pray this for each other. Amen? And let's not just pray this for ourselves, but would you pray this for your family as well? And so we're going to do that now.